The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by Fulfill.io, the ERP built natively for e-commerce sellers. Fulfill streamlines the complexity in your business to save you time and money. From smart order routing to warehouse management, accounting to inventory tracking, they take all of your complexity and all the things that take a lot of time and manual effort and streamline them under one unified tool. Their clients range from seven-figure brands all the way through companies doing hundreds of millions of dollars per year so they can grow and scale with you. And they're the highest rated ERP in our community of private sellers, according to member reviews, scoring higher than Odoo, Skubana, Brightpearl, and yes, even NetSuite. Actually scored quite a bit higher than NetSuite. So if you want to streamline the complexity in your business, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the largest and most popular upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 Shopify Plus stores. Man, it is hard to get people to your store these days, whether you're doing organic or whether you're trying to get down in the muck that is Facebook ads these days with the disaster that that has become. You want to take advantage when people actually show up. And if you give people a chance, 1 in 6 will spend more money with you if you send them a personalized, targeted, relevant upsell offer, which is what one-click upsell makes it super easy to do. You can do it pre-purchase, post-purchase, give them lots of different options. It makes it incredibly easy, and they've helped store owners generate over $200 million in additional revenue. So if you want a slice of that, and you want to get started, you can get started really quickly with them in just a few minutes. Get your first upsell up and running. Check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure e-commerce store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, Flying Solo, going to be doing a hybrid of both of those today, going to be talking about something I've thought a lot about, experimented with, and tried lots of different formats with over the past, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 10 years. And that's how, like, building a great schedule and a routine in your life. How do you build one that is flexible, that helps you get things done, that helps you see family, and also is efficient so that you're not working 70, 80 hours a week? So in today's show, I want to talk through what hasn't worked for me, some of the things I've tried that have not worked, and also what has worked, and dive into those as well. So we're going to be getting into the weeds on those. I probably lost half the people listening already. The other half that are sticking around, you probably are hyper-efficiency optimization nerds, and man, you're my people. I love doing, you know, geeking out about this. So thank you for sticking around, and hopefully you get a nugget or two here. Before diving into those two, though, maybe this is overly navel-gazing, and if it is, I apologize. Try not to do too much of this on the show, but I figured I'd give you just a real quick idea of my schedule on a, you know, very high level average day in the life of Andrew, so you can kind of know how this fits into the context of everything I'm doing. So usually I'll wake up, alarm goes off 6:30, hit snooze once or twice, actually get out of bed around 7, go for a quick run or workout in the park that's kind of close to our house, get back about 7:30, 7:45, have breakfast with the kids, some decaf coffee. I usually drink decaf because I drink a lot of coffee, and so if I drink straight coffee, I usually get a pretty bad crash about 1 or 2 o'clock. So drink coffee, take one of the kids to school. Annie will take one set. I'll take one set. Get back home. And usually I'm at my desk starting to work probably around 8:45-ish, maybe 9 o'clock at the latest every day. Usually work pretty, you know, fairly standardly from like 9-ish to like 4:30 or 5-ish every day with a couple breaks for lunch or hanging out with the family. So we'll work pretty consistent day in the evening. I usually have dinner around 6 o'clock. Probably have dinner by 80% of the nights with our family when we're in town. Spend the evening. It varies a little bit depending on the evening, but usually hanging out with kids, read them, tuck them in, catch up on a few things in the evening and in bed by, you know, probably 10:30, 11 o'clock, read for 20, 30 minutes and then lights off. So that's kind of a standard day for me. And I'm usually working, it's pretty standard Monday through Friday, probably 35, 40 hours a week, I would say, is a pretty standard schedule. So what hasn't worked for me? I think the big ones are a few things. I've tried doing a themed day for things. I've tried doing like, okay, Mondays is going to be my deep work day. Tuesdays when I'm going to record all my podcasts. Wednesdays when I'm going to do all my phone calls. Thursdays when I'm going to do all my like long-term planning. And Fridays I'll take care of all the admin or whatever it is. And I've tried that, Disaster. Absolute train wreck. Did not work. I tried reserving Wednesday afternoons for family to be able to cut out early and spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours with the family on Wednesday afternoons. That did not work. I've done a terrible job of that. I tried to leave the office every day by 4 p.m. for a while. That was a train wreck. Absolutely did not do that, even though I tracked it every week and tried to have some accountability with that with some folks. And then finally, trying to get everything done, I will sit down on a, as I would guess a lot of people listening do, either the end of the day or the beginning of the day, make a list of what I want to do that day. And if I get 50 to 60%, I would say on an average day, I'm batting 50%. If I get 65 to 70% done on a day, I'm feeling really good. And it's probably one in 30 days I get 100% done. So I think that's just the nature of trying to get a lot done and having a business. Your to-do list is never finished. And even when you think you can, when you scope out a day and think, hey, this looks reasonable, it's almost always more than you can get done. So those are some of the things that have not worked. And I think some of the common themes are the biggest common theme is flexibility. Trying to pin down, I'm going to do this on this day, or I'm going to do this every single day. There's so much fluidity and change and reprioritization that has to happen in the life of a founder or an owner that I found those really constricting, and I've failed miserably at those. And so some of the things I'm going to talk about here in just a second that have worked tend to be much more, they tend to focus much more on flexibility. So for example, like working out, I have found out that when I tried to go to the gym like 3 or 4 times a week, I have never in my life been able to do that for more than a couple months at a time. I've just been awful at it. But when I change that to say, okay, I'm going to try to be active every day. And for me, every day is like 6 days a week. So maybe some days that's running, maybe some days that's playing basketball, maybe some days that's, you know, going on a big hike or doing, you know, Pilates whatever it is, something that can be active every day and it has some flexibility to it. And that has been so much easier to do than having a very fixed, rigid schedule. So things that have worked well for me in setting up a good schedule. The first one is I've got what I call a weekly, monthly, quarterly checklist. So I kind of sat down and took inventory. Okay, here are the things that are really important for me to be effective, leading a community, leading a team, being a dad and a husband, all these kind of things. And actually, I say dad and husband. I'm looking at my checklist. There are zero dad or husband things on this list. So I need to add those. Let's get real here. There's none of that on the list. Need to work on that one. But the business critical weekly tax checklist has all those things. And it's great because at the end of the week, I kind of can look through, like for example, on my everyday list here, I've got exercise or activity, read the forms. And then I've got something every week. I've got things like record a podcast, publish a piece of content, work toward building out our team and developing our team. And these are things that are things I want to do on a regular basis, but I just have to do them on a certain cadence. And at the end of every week, I can check off my list and see how I'm doing. Did I get 70, 80, 90%? My goal is 80% because I'm not going to be perfect, but it's nice because I can get a holistic look. And if I miss it one day, I still have a chance to pick it up. That's been a good thing for me to work from. Limiting phone calls. I think it's probably been 6 months since I've done a good phone call rant on the podcast. So let's cue this up for people who haven't listened. Man, I feel like people just spend so much time on the phone. And I feel like this de facto, let's hop on a phone call to kick off whatever it is, I feel like is just toxic. If you're spending your life on phone calls, A, it's probably inefficient. And B, it sounds like a miserable life to me. I hate being on the phone all the time. So a few things I try to do, I try to push back on that whenever possible. If I have like my core team and we need to hop on the phone call, or someone like in the community or in my core circle in the ECF community, I'll be more flexible with that. But especially inbound requests for phone calls, I push back on those a lot. And even if it gets uncomfortable sometimes, people say, you want to hop on the phone? And I'll say, well, how about sometimes I'll just ignore their request and just answer it via email. Or sometimes I'll just say, hey, I don't necessarily think we need to get on a phone call here. And anyway, getting comfortable with pushing back on that a little bit has, oh man, my schedule is so much freer and more enjoyable because of that. Hey, Andrew here with a little aside. If you're listening, you're obviously interested in e-commerce. And so I want to make sure you know about our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands at e-commerce fuel. And the secret sauce, like you might guess, is it's limited to people who own stores, who are in the trenches, practitioners doing this stuff. It's a very curated community, which has three big benefits. First, it means everyone inside can help get fast on-point answers to your most important questions. if you're trying to decide if SMS is a tool worth rolling out, if you just got suspended on Amazon, if you're trying to hire a director of e-commerce, these are all things that either people have experience with or have gone through in the forums. And if you post and ask questions, you'll get answers within hours, sometimes even minutes, as well as being able to tap into close to a decade of archive discussions. So you get a lot of insights, fast answers to pressing questions. You get to plug into an amazing network of over 1,100 experienced e-commerce entrepreneurs. So you can reach out to people if you're in e-commerce fuel. Our members are incredibly giving and generous. And so if you want to reach out to someone with expertise, oftentimes we'd be happy to share what they know. If you're, you know, traveling, hopefully when traveling is a common thing again, a lot of our members would hit in the city, you know, DC, Dallas, Sydney, Australia, you know, London, wherever it is, and be able to have someone on the ground you can connect with or maybe grab a beer with. It's an amazing network. And then finally, we've got a huge user-generated review library with over 10,000 reviews on agencies, software, e-commerce software that you can tap into to avoid costly hiring and software mistakes. Nothing is worse than spending 3 months with an agency to onboard only to find out that a bunch of people already tried them and they were horrible and they wasted a bunch of your money and your life. So those are the kind of things you can avoid tapping into the unbiased reviews and experiences of our members with our software directory. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, you should join us at ecommercefuel.com. You can learn more. You can apply for membership there. We also have a 5x ROI guarantee. If you own a 7 or 8 figure brand and your membership fees for our community don't pay for themselves at least 5 times over the course of the first year, we'll refund it completely as well as send you $1,000 just for the wasted time. So ecommercefuel.com, check it out. We'd love to have you apply and potentially join the community. All right. Back to the discussion. I also try to, and this isn't anything novel, but it really helps me to have a couple, 2-3 times per week when I'm batching inbound phone call requests. So for me, like Tuesdays is a big phone call day, Thursday afternoons and Friday afternoons. Those are my big phone call days. And so I'm either reporting podcasts or doing phone calls or any of that kind of stuff, especially when they're inbound. If I'm outbound to asking people to do stuff, I think it's important to be more flexible since you're asking them. So even if I propose those, I always try to say like, hey, if these don't work, let me know and I'll try to be more flexible. Big difference between asking people to get on the phone and them asking you in terms of flexibility. Anyway, that could be a whole nother episode, but I think limiting phone calls has helped tremendously with establishing a good schedule. Carving out deep work times for me. And so I have them on my schedule, 2 or 3, you know, 4 hour blocks. I think I have 3 4-hour blocks every week that I call like deep work times. And the aspiration and the goal is for them to be 4 hours where I can sit down and crank on big projects. And the reality is the number of times I actually sit down for 4 hours and crank through big projects is probably sub 50%, although it definitely happens. So they're useful for that. But it ends up being a great time where I don't have phone calls, I don't have other things planned, and I can get through real meaningful work. Sometimes even that means maybe catching up on email because it's been 4 days since I've done it. But regardless, carving out those blocks of time where no meeting time or no call time have been really helpful. And about, you know, maybe roughly half the time they are great for long-term projects. So that has helped a lot. I already mentioned the being active every day thing, having the flexibility. So having that, you know, trying to be active in some way, shape, or form every day. And again, the flexibility there, that's been super helpful. Optimizing my life and our family's life around not driving. So this is more of a long-term play, but it's been something that really contributes to efficiency and quality of life and just productivity on a few different fronts. One, the neighborhood we pick to live in is, we kind of thought through it. It's a centrally located neighborhood. It's a place that's walkable, that's bikeable, that's close to our kids' school, that's close to, you know, I rented a car to go to Palm Springs for one of our events last week, and I was able to, it was close enough to a kind of a commercial center. I was able to take the car over and actually like, you know, run home, or actually had a longboard from my college days. So longboard at home, it took 5 or 10 minutes, but that's a random example. But most of the things we need to do, we don't have to drive a lot towards, which is really nice. Spent the last probably 1.5 years, close to 2 years building a home office. It's a detached office on the property of our house. You know, obviously a separate building. And that has been, I'm going to do another episode on this. I feel like that's one of the absolute best. If you work from home, that's probably one of the best investments you can make if you have the space in terms of productivity, in terms of efficiency, in terms of building a great schedule. That has been an absolute game changer for me. Apart from just the focus it allows for me to be home when kids come home from school and I can go in and see them for 5-10 minutes and then come back to work. I save immediately an hour a day. So, you know, let's say you value your time, but $200 per hour, she says a ballpark, and you're saving $200 per hour per day. That's $1,000 per, that's $4,000. Let's say roughly $5,000 per month in commuting time immediately. That can pay for a pretty nice office on a either saving up in money or payment schedule, depending on how you want to slice it. So anyway, and then finally, our kids aren't in a million activities that are at far-flung corners of the earth. I heard someone say, I can't remember where it was. I can't remember if it was a local friend or someone on the interwebs. They said like, oh, hey, Johnny, you can do what you want to be. You want to be a guitar player or a soccer player or play piano or whatever it is. That's great. As long as we can find someone who can teach you to do that or a team that does that within half a mile of our house, you are welcome to do. I will support you 100%. And I had to laugh a little bit, partially because it was funny, but partially because I think there's some truth to that too. Like, we have three kids. I want them to be active. I want them to be doing things, but it's also not healthy for our family if myself, if my wife, if we're always driving around and spending, you know, 4 hours per day in cars, carting people around. And I understand like this gets harder, older kids get, my oldest is 10, but thinking about that and trying to bias activities and clubs and things like that for your kids in areas that aren't, you know, or maybe it's a piano teacher, getting one that's not, you know, maybe getting one that wasn't internationally ranked, but that lives, you know, a quarter mile away versus 10 miles away. Like, those are probably good trade-offs for the sanity of your family and your schedule. So anyway, optimizing around not driving, I think, is a huge one. It's been massive in our life. And then finally, systematizing team communications. This one has been something that's worked really well for me over the years. I've had a scheduled one-on-one with each one of my direct stateside team members for the last probably 5-6 years. And I love that. It's usually about an hour a week. And it's a great chance for us to catch up on everything that's going on. We know when it's coming. We can punt things on email that are easier to talk about, kind of push them all to that call. It's a great kind of pulse cadence check in, how are you kind of call. I love that. So I have a regularly scheduled one-on-one with my team every week with each team member. We have a weekly team check-in via email. We do EOS, kind of our own flavor of EOS. I know you've got like the L10 meeting with EOS. We don't do that every single week, but we do a weekly team check-in via email. Because after we talked about it, we realized a lot of the stuff that we were going over was fairly quick. A lot of it had been covered in our one-on-one specifically, and we could do it pretty quickly on email. So now we just do a kind of a, every Friday, our team does a check-in email. Each person updates people, everyone on their key metrics, what's going on, how the week went, what's coming up, et cetera. We have a monthly team call where we all get together and look over some of the monthly KPIs that we're looking at, connect, and just have the whole team come together. We also will occasionally, in those one-on-ones, kind of overlap with the team. So we'll have, you know, 2 or 3 person calls on some of those one-on-ones, depending on the structure, and then ad hoc calls when needed. But really the core of that is the regularly scheduled one-on-one with each team member every week, and that helps a ton. So systematizing the team communications has been super helpful. And then I think the final thing is just really, and I kind of touched on this earlier, being really good about planning your day before it shows up, thinking through and kind of having a plan of attack. And I use Rome Research. It's this interesting note-taking tool. And it's kind of fun because I'll go through and make the checklist for my day. I'll make it. And then I'll go through and at the end of every day, I'll move what didn't get done to the next day, add some new items to it and close it out. But I can go through, sometimes I think like you look back on the last 2 weeks, and you're like, what in the world did I do the last 2 weeks? I can't even name half the stuff I did. The thing I love about this approach is I can go through and I have the last, at this point, you know, months and months of previous days archived. So if I, you know, I want to know what I did on September 22nd, I can go back, open up that little collapsing box with Rome Research, and it will show me everything I did and got done and anything I didn't get done that I didn't move to the next day. So anyway, that's been super helpful, that kind of prioritization and also the record log of everything that did get done. So those are kind of the staples of things that have worked well. Again, kind of a regular weekly, monthly checklist has some flexibility in it, optimizing around not driving, getting really aggressive at limiting phone calls, especially inbound phone call requests, carving out deep work times. From a health perspective, being active every day, but having flexibility in terms of what the activity is, systematizing your team communications, and being really proactive in terms of planning your day. And final parting thought here, in terms of scheduling, in terms of time. When you're thinking about it, I think most of us as entrepreneurs listening to this are really good at or have a bias towards working, towards being productive, towards getting things done, toward putting times toward the business and moving things forward, which is good. Like we wouldn't have the business as we do if we didn't do that. But I think it's easy to forget, like, an hour on your business is not necessarily the same as an hour in an unserved part of your life. Maybe that's health, maybe that's friendships, maybe that's family. If you're spending 40 hours on business a week and you're spending 5 hours on, let's say family, let's use health, 5 hours on health. Let's use 1 hour on health. So 40 hours on business and 1 hour on health. If you take 1 hour from your business and move it over to the health category, the incremental impact on your business is going to be very, almost negligible. The impact on your health, it doubles the amount of time you're dedicating towards your health that week. So the more you can move hours, especially in areas that you're already putting a lot of effort towards underserved areas, you're going to see exponential gains in those areas, which I think is really interesting. It's kind of like when you raise prices on things, a lot of times the impact on the bottom line is not intuitive. It's much stronger than you would expect because of the way margins work. The same thing works with time. So I just encourage you, as you're thinking through schedules, that's what I think is the power of schedules. If you can set up a schedule in a great way where you can be efficient and effective and get things done, not only do you get more time, but you get time in a leveraged manner that can really have outsized returns in those other super important, arguably the most important areas of your life. So anyway, thank you for listening to me ramble solo for 20-ish minutes here. That's an accomplishment in and of itself. But yeah, I geek out about schedules. I'd love to hear how you think about this, like what's worked for you, what's not. Podcasting is such a one-way medium that I love hearing back from you. So let me know. If you're in the forums, drop me a PM, start a thread on it. I think I'm going to start a thread in the forums here this week about it. Or I'm also on Twitter, at Youderian, Youderian, or you can drop me an email, andrew@ecommercefuel.com. So thanks so much for listening. Happy nerding out about that schedule. Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the e-commerce fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help, access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that, you know, founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Big thanks to One-Click Upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted, high-converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And also to Fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest-rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network, live from New York.